Good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining our Thursday Night Mishmash here. Tonight's topic is actually a shaila, unfortunately not a shaila that I was asked, but a shaila that occurred to me just 2 weeks ago. As you know, my father, Olav HaShalom, was nifter just about 2 weeks ago, Harini Kaparas Mishkavo, and I wanted to, first of all, dedicate this shir, Lili Nishmas, my father, in addition to the regular Zoom sponsors for this week. Thank you for the sponsorships. My father's name is Yechiel Michel ben Rav Moshe Aaron, Harini Kaparas Mishkavo. So the situation that occurred at the very, 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 very end of my father's life in this world was that my father's nifter at 3:04 p.m. on Tuesday, a week and 2 weeks ago, whatever it is. I'm a little lost with the days. A little before 3 o'clock, we realized that my father's blood pressure was dropping. And in as much as that's the case, and we knew that we knew it was relatively imminent at that point, based on what the doctors had told us the process is at the point that my father was holding. And we wanted to daven mincha before my father would pass, so that once my father would be nifta, we'd of course be owning him. And we wanted a chap mincha before we had aninus. So as we saw the blood pressure, my father's blood pressure dropping, we quickly began to daven mincha. As I was up to a certain point in mincha, I believe it was, I don't remember what point, some point in the middle of Shemona Esrei, the nurse came in and she checked and found that there was no pulse. She called in the doctor. And the doctor, you know, just he was right outside. The doctor came in within a few seconds and checked. And when I was up to Hashiva, I don't remember if it was Hashiva Shavtenu or Hashivenu, one of those two, I remember it was the word Hashiva. The doctor said, you know, I'm sorry, your father has passed. So now I was in the middle of Shemona Esrei, and I was in a conundrum. I didn't know if I was supposed to continue Shemona Esrei because I already had started Shemona Esrei. And I started Beheter. Assuming my father was alive, I definitely started Beheter. But even if my father had passed away without us noticing, I still started Beheter because the halacha is that if somebody passes away, you don't have to tell the relative right away. If you know the relative has something important to take care of or is going to shul, you could let them daven, do whatever it is they got to do, and tell them 10, 20, 30 minutes later so that they could finish whatever they need to do or finish... if they don't know about it, finish their davening or go to davening if they're on their way to davening. You don't have to tell them till afterwards. So therefore, even if my father had passed away a few minutes before I started davening mincha, it didn't seem like that because the numbers were still changing on the screen, unless maybe I just don't know how to read the screen properly, or maybe I don't know what the numbers represent sufficiently. It would seem that whether he was alive or not alive, when I started Shemona Esrei, either way, I started Beheter. And then when it did become clear to me that my father had passed, I was in the middle of Shemona Esrei, and I had different ways to, you know, on one hand, I'll tell you what went through my head. I don't know if it was right or not, that's our goal for tonight, but what went through my head is to think that right now I'm an Onain, and since I'm an Onain, anything further that I say would be a Brach Levatala, because not mechuyev to say the rest of the next few brachas of Shemona Esrei, and if I would say them as not a bar chiyuva, they would potentially be brachas levatala, and therefore I stopped. I just stopped, you know, stopped on a dime, and you know, separated my feet and just walked, you know, did whatever I did. I didn't continue. That's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin, as I was speaking with this, those of you who are at my shiva house, you know, might have heard this conversation at different points. The other side of the coin is that maybe if I stop, that would render the first 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 brachas to be brachas of atala. Because if you say half a Shemona Esrei, it's all or nothing. Shemona Esrei, there's no such thing as a half a Shemona Esrei. It's all or nothing. So if I didn't finish the Shemona Esrei, maybe my first brachas will end up having been brachas levatala. So maybe there would be a heter for me to continue saying Shemona Esrei because otherwise the first half of Shemona Esrei will end up being a brach levatala. So that was the question that I had, and unfortunately I wasn't able to research it because, as we know, an avel is not allowed to learn Torah, but among the conversations with the various rabbanim who came in, One of them was Rabbi Shai Schechter, and in the middle of my shiva, I didn't read the tshuva, but he sent me a tshuva from Rabbi Avadia and Chazon Avadia, who discusses this at great length. This exact shaila, but the shaila incorporates one added component, and that is, if a person finds out the besorah ra in the middle of Birkas Hamazon, same shaila. So either in the middle of benching or in the middle of Shemona Esrei, what does one do? Does one continue with the benching? Does one continue with the Shemona Esrei or not? So if you look on top of the sheets, what we really have to do is figure out a number of questions. Actually, we have to figure out a number of answers to those questions. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bedvaro. Nice to see you, Dr. Marin, and Reb Moshe, nice to better to see you here than elsewhere. So number one, what's the nature of the patur of an onen? What I mean by that is we know that an onen is patur from mitzvahs, but why is an onen patur from mitzvahs? And maybe based on the reasons why an onen is patur from mitzvahs in general, that might inform us what to do when there's this complicated situation. I complicated by the sense of, it's not just like, oh, don't do the mitzvah. Here it's complicated because there's a risk if I don't continue doing the mitzvah. Maybe that will render my brachas levatel. So if I know what the patur of an onen is in general, maybe I could have clearer what to do in this situation.
Was everybody done, or just one or two people?
I was in. It wasn't a minion. It was just the my brother and I was that were in the hospital room.
No one else was in the room. Just the three of
you. Just the family was there. Yeah, and the nurse walked in, and the doctor walked in the middle. Yeah. There's no one else there.
It's an interesting question whether you should be davening because you're no longer doing a mitzvah here.
There was nothing for me to do. It was a waiting game. The very, very last day was nothing to do. Anything that had been tried, that there was to try, had been tried. And there were no other additional things or decisions that could be made or should be made. It's not like we were osek b'mitzvah in the sense of trying to think of what could we do to. It wasn't a situation of what could we do to save my father. It was all that had been tried, and there was nothing left in their arsenal. So that brings us what you're pointing out is to the question of osik b'mitzvah. You're asking a different osik mitzvah. You're asking maybe you're being osik in the mitzvah of caring for somebody, and that's certainly true. If you're in a hospital helping a sick person or tending to somebody who's very ill, certainly critically ill, then you're also pensive. Maybe you don't have to daven at all. But here we have the opposite. Maybe the whole heter of aninus, why is an onen patur from mitzvah? So let's see as we go. We'll do this in an orderly fashion, and things will unravel, hopefully, in an orderly fashion. So the Mishnah in Brachos, which I don't have my sheets, tells us that an onen, it does not make brachos, does not daven, does not say Kriyat Shema, does not say Shemona Esrei. Not only that, but just like he doesn't say Hamotzi, so too other people don't make brachos for him. And he doesn't say Amen. If he says a bracha, you're not allowed to say Amen to his bracha because it wasn't a real bracha. Look what Rashi says. Ein mevorchen alav, meaning, not only does he not have to say hamotzi, but ein mevarchen alav. You don't make hamotzi for him. Ein tzarech sheyevarchu lo acherim bevirchas halachem. You don't need other people. Other people don't need to make a hamotzi for him. Stop. Could you make a diuk from those words? If I tell you, you don't need to do X, Y, Z, what does that tell you?
He certainly doesn't need to do it.
He doesn't. What else does it tell you? He doesn't need to viyotzi the bracha. Correct. It's mash that if he wants to, he can, but he doesn't need to. Because Rashi could have said, Asr levarei chalav, or Asr lo, could have said Asr, here instead of say Asr levarei chalav. Here it's saying that it's not necessary.
I'm making the bracha for my motzi. He's what's Asr about that? I'm
eating. Yeah, I hear you, Hara. So look at the Rush. Look at the Rush. The Rush makes a diuk. The Rush makes a diuk from the fact that from the Lashon of Rashi, look what I underlined. Rashi appears, Ein tzarech sheyevarech birchas hamotzi. Mashma says, Rashi imratza levarech hashus biyado. The Rush is medayik in Rashi that if an onen An onen doesn't need to do mitzvahs. An onen doesn't need to make a bracha. But if an onen wants, he is permitted to do so. That's what the Rosh says is Shitas Rashi. That onen is a ptur from chiyuv hamitzvos, but it is an option if he wants to do the mitzvah, he may.
It's not an
isser. Correct. And therefore an onen can make brachas, an onen can daven, an onen can. If we stopped right here, I have an answer to my shaila. I not should have, I could have. Could have finished. Maybe given the circumstance that I don't want to make the first brachas levatola and I could finish, so maybe you're right. Maybe I therefore should have finished, according to Rashi. Says the Rosh, I don't think this is correct. I don't think Rashi is correct. Because when the Gemara continues and talks about what you're allowed to do within the proximity of a mace, within 4 amos, outside of 4 amos, it says outside of 4 amos is also usser. The language of the Gemara that says also usser to make bracha sounds like there is an isser to make a bracha, not just that it's not necessary and it's optional, but that it's mamish usser. And therefore the Rosh is going to bring a number of proofs to say that. The concern with Indalamas and the Mace might be at least Loig L'Rush, but if you say that it's Chutzla Ab Arba Amos, that it's no longer Loig L'Rush, that it could only be because of the Aninus itself. Well, the point here is that you're no longer within the proximity and still Usser. That can't be because of the Loig L'Rush component. It has to be because of the Aninus component. Continues the Rosh and suggests the following. Right. Yeah. Right, but here so for an onen at least, the Rosh says Shitas Rashi is that it's optional. He says, I don't like it. I have a Gemara that says it's not optional, it's usser. And now, the Rosh wants to bring a few proofs to show that if somebody else takes over, if you give the mace to Chevra Kadisha, then maybe it could become at least optional. Look at what the Rosh brings with these. He's going to bring proofs that it's going to be usser. Even if there is somebody taking care of things for the Avel, for the Onain, it's still going to be usser for the Onain to do mitzvah. So look at this proof that he brings. Proof number one. He has a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says the following. The Yerushalmi says, we don't have to see it inside. The Yerushalmi says, even though you ate a lot, first of all, you can't eat, an Onain can't eat, drink wine or eat meat, of course, doesn't make brachos. If the Onain makes a bracha, the people around can't say Amen, why not? Because it's not a real bracha. If the Onain hears a bracha from somebody else, he's not allowed to answer amen. That's what Yerushalmi says. Let's think about that. Why is an onen pater? Let's suggest because he's busy. He has to take care of all the tzrachei kvura. He has to prepare the funeral, prepare the mace, prepare the tachrichim, prepare the hesped. How long does it take to say amen to someone's bracha? Okay. Says the Rosh, answering Amen is not a big deal. You make a bracha, you had all kinds of kavanas, you had a really long bracha, 20 seconds, but the Amen is still, oh, mine. I'm saying even if you give a good geshmak Amen, it's still going to be a second and a half. At best, 3 seconds if you're really on fire. So look at what I underline. He's not allowed to answer Amen. If anias Amen, enum is patam eisek kames. And still it's usher. So you see from the Yerushalmi, from the fact that Yerushalmi says you can't answer Amen, you see that even if you're not actively being delayed, you're not being taken away from your arranging the funeral and the kavura, you still can't answer Amen. It must be that it's a real isser. That's the proof from the Yerushalmi. Look at proof number two. Proof number two is an easy proof. There's a Gemara that says that as people around the Avel are davening because it's time to daven, the Avel sits Yoshev Domim. He sits doing nothing. Sits doing nothing, it sounds like he's not busy. He's just sitting doing nothing. That's the Lashon of the Gemara. Yoshev Domim. He sits there doing nothing, silently. Everyone else is davening, he sits there doing nothing. It sounds like they're not doing anything. He's Yoshev. He's not doing anything. He's not talking and just sitting there. So it sounds like even if you're just sitting there doing nothing, you're not allowed to say the words of Tefillah. So it seems that it's usser for an Avel to daven. Not just optional, but usser. And finally, the third proof. The third proof is seemingly the most explicit, and I underline that the long Yerushalmi. What does Yerushalmi say? Tanya, look what I underlined in proof number 3. The Yerushalmi says explicitly, Imrotza lahachmir al atzmo, if the only one wants to be machmir and do mitzvahs, or say brachas, ein shomin lo, he's not permitted. Lama asks the Yerushalmi, why can't an onin say, do mitzvahs, or say brachas, or daven? So the Yerushalmi is going to say two answers. Mipnei kvodo shomeis. What does that mean? If a person just lost a relative and he starts getting pre-consumed, he starts getting involved with doing mitzvahs and being medaktik in halacha and making sure he makes this man and that man and this nusach and that nusach, it shows that he's not fully present in the ptira of the mace. And it's a bizayon to the covenant of the mace to have the hesach hadas, to draw the person's mind away from the mace and the caring for the mace to go ahead and daven. Therefore, it's a bizayon to the mace and therefore he can't daven. Oh, mishum she'en lo misha yisa maso. The second reason for the Yerushalmi, why an onin is pater from doing mitzvahs, is because he has stuff to do. He has to carry the mace. He has to bury. He has to buy what has to be bought. He has to hire whoever he has to hire. What's the nafkamina between these two reasons of the Yerushalmi why an onin is pater from mitzvahs? Again, an onin is pater from mitzvahs either because of kavod hamace or because the Avel, the onin, has to take care of stuff. The nafkamina is, says Yerushalmi, what's the nafkamina? When there's a chever kadisha is taking care of all the needs. If it's taking care of the needs and somebody else is taking care of all the needs, which oftentimes is the case, the person dies certainly in a hospital or in a house, you wait an hour or two, you're an onin, and then the chever kadisha comes and they take care of it from there. Especially if everything was prearranged, if the funeral was prearranged and the rabbi, it was prearranged, and you already wrote the hesped, as is sometimes the case.
But just the idea, the fact that it's mentioned next to not drinking wine and not eating meat implies that it has nothing to do with the obligation. It's just about kodesh hamace. So why can't he drink wine? Why can't he eat meat because it'll be celebrating, which is not kavod hamace? So it makes sense to say the mitzvah's going.
You're saying if there's an iser of achilas, basar, and shtias, yayin, and that can't be because of tirda, I don't know if I agree with you. I'll tell you why. Maybe the reason why you can't drink wine is because when you drink wine, you're not going to be able to stop. Because wine is addictive. How do I know that wine's addictive? First of all, go Google alcohol. We know that wine's addictive. Second of all, the Gemara and Arvi Psachim says that wine's addictive. The Gemara and Arvi Psachim says that in order to be yosei wine, on the Dalet Kosetz, it's supposed, Tam Shol Yayin. Rashi says, Tan Shol Yayin, Al Yere Yayin Ki Yis Adam. Rashi says, the word Yis Adam doesn't mean red, it means that it makes you want more. So wine has a quality of it pulls you in. Basar also. Basar is a type of Seuda that pulls you in. So maybe Basar V'Yayin is not else the way you're suggesting that it's something that's a covered, it's fancy food. You're a person in Onan, don't eat fancy food. It's like you're eating a lollipop in Aninas. Hold on a second. You're eating a lollipop in Aninas? That's not appropriate. You're eating wine and you're having a grilled, ribeye. Your person's relative just died and you're eating a ribeye and you're drinking a fine cup of Chardonnay. That's not appropriate. No, maybe these are two things that you'll be nimshach, and because you'll be nimshach in them, you won't be able to properly be toreid and be osik in what has to be osik in. You hear that?
Understand maybe
yayin,
but not basar. That's for
you could
steak, you do better,
you
don't do worse.
I hear.
Couldn't we argue that the second proof, where it says that the onion is sitting there, wouldn't it be equated to the same way we have to cover that by a cemetery, because you don't want to taunt the mason. Here the onion is, he's sitting next to the mace.
Well, you're saying would only apply. What you're saying would only apply if you're within Dalet Amos. Let's say you're 3 blocks away, so there's no Lo'ig L'Rosh anymore. So then there's only a question.
10 feet away.
Okay, so that's a question of Lo'ig L'Rosh. That would apply to anybody, not just the Avel. Here we're saying that applies to the Onain because he's an Onain wherever he might be, as long as he's going to be able to be involved with the Kvura. You know, if he's in a different city, maybe he's not an Onain because there's nothing to do.
So what I'm suggesting is that if
Mace
is in front of you,
so that would be a Ptur of Lo'ig L'Rosh, not necessarily the Ptur of Onan. And that would apply to everybody, not just the Avelim. The Chevra Kadisha also. Chevra Kadisha has to tuck in their tzitzis. Chevra Kadisha can't wear tefillin. Chevra Kadisha can't daven shachris in the presence, in the direct presence of the Mace. Correct.
Is meat and yayin connected with Simcha? And is that
what? That's a good ha'ara. That's different than what we both said. You're saying meat and yayin has a connotation of simcha, and therefore the onen is not supposed to be involved with something of simcha. I hear that also. Okay. Now, how do we pass on both sides? We had Rashi, who seemed to hold that that an onen is optional. He's potter for mitzvahs, but he could do mitzvah if he wants. And then we had the Rosh brought these three proofs that an onen is aser to perform mitzvah. So how do we paskin? Is it optional or not? Because if it is optional, then I could say, hey, if I'm already in the middle of Shemona Esrei and I have the option to finish it, I probably should, because even though I'm not obligated to, I probably should, because otherwise my first half of Shemona Esrei will end up retroactively becoming Brachos Levatala. So if it's optional, I might as well finish it. On the other hand, if you tell me it's Aser is Aser. I can't continue. Let's see how we paskin. Again, we're not going to be talking about my Shaila, but from this psak, we'll hopefully have a greater perception of how to look at my Shaila of the Shemona Esrei. So comes the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Avelis at the end of Yoredeya. Just so you know, Yoredeya ends with Hilchas Avelis. It's the very last part of Yoredeya. And in Shemem Aleph, the first sif talks about Aninus. Misha Meis Lo Meis, the bottom of page 1. Misha Meis Lo Meis Shu Chayv L'Sav L'Lov, Kodem Kvura. So a person has a relative who perished before Kvura, Einu Mevarech Birchas Hamotzi, Vilo Birchas Hamazi, you don't make Bracha Rishonas, Bracha Achronas, Einu Mevarechan Allah, Vilo Bezavnu, etc. Look at the bottom line. Potem Yikol Mitzvah Samurus Batora, Afilim Einu Tzarech La'asok B'Tzarkei Hameis. Even if there's a Chevra Kadisha, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, even if there's a Chevra Kadisha to take care of the practical aspects, the Onin is still putter from the mitzvahs. Does that mean that he's paskening like the reason of... You remember Yerushalmi said two reasons why an onin is pater? Either because you're tarud or because of kavod hames. If you're tarud, if it's because of your tarud, then the Yerushalmi said, but if there's a chevra kadisha, you're not tarud, then you should be chayev. If the... If it's because of the reason of the Yerushalmi that it's because of Kavod Hameis, then even though there's someone to take care of it, there's still a concern of Kavod Hameis.
If this happened on Shabbos,
yeah,
you can't do anything with the mace.
Excellent point. Shalom is saying, according to this chakir of the Yerushalmi, there should be a nafkamina of what to do on Shabbos. If it's for tirda, you can't be toreid. If it's for Kavod HaMeis, there should be Kavod HaMeis, there should be Pata Mitzvah on Shabbos. It's a very good svar. I didn't see anyone say that, but L'chori, you're right. L'chori, you should be right, but that's not halachically true. We know that an onay does do Mitzvah on Shabbos. So you're saying maybe that's a right, that it's because of the tirda, not Kavod HaMeis.
There's tirda on Shabbos, you have to watch the Meis. You can't leave the Meis alone in the room. You have to show me the Meis, it's Achbarim, and have things to do.
What, on Shabbos?
Yeah, someone has to watch the Meis.
He's saying the Shmir itself. No, but Shomer is already something. Shomer is already you're already preoccupied with something. You're already doing something. That's what he's saying. You are doing something, even on Shabbos.
You're sitting.
You're sitting, but you're running around making sure the mice don't come from that way and that way and that way. I hear it. Okay, good question. Good, it's a good ha'ara. L'chora, your svara is a strong svara. I haven't seen it, but L'chora, it's a strong svara. Let's see the next line. What we just saw is the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch basically said that you're potter. That's all the Shulchan Aruch said. Potter means potter, but if you want, you probably could. according to the Shulchan Aruch. You probably could do mitzvahs. You're just patur from mitzvahs. But look at the top line on the next, on page 2. V'yesh omrim, says the Shulchan Aruch, sha'afilu im yirtze lahachmir al atzmo, levarich olano samein achar mevarachin, ein arashai. The Shulchan Aruch brings a second opinion that says that you're not allowed to do mitzvahs, even if you want to do mitzvahs. So what is that opinion holding? That opinion is holding like clearly like the Rush, who says that you can't do mitzvahs even if you want to. And Rabbo say that's indeed how we paskin. We paskin, I don't remember if this is the Ramah or just the second sheet of the Shulchan Aruch, I don't remember. I don't have it indicated over here on the page. But this is how we paskin. We paskin, certainly Ashkenazim paskin, that you're not allowed to do mitzvahs even if you want. If that's the case, that an onin is not allowed to do mitzvahs even if he wants, so for me and my Shaila, I can't continue davening.
You're standing in front of a Baruch Shalom, davening. How do you walk away from the Baruch Shalom without finishing?
The same Ribbono Shalom that told me to daven mincha is the Ribbono Shalom that told me that once you're an onan, you don't daven mincha. So he told me to stop. If you're talking to the king and the king says, shut your mouth. What are you doing? Shut your mouth. There's one Ribbono Shel Olam, and we do what he says. Sometimes he says, go to shul. And during COVID, he said, don't go to shul. So we didn't go to shul. Yes. He says, don't daven, because we are an onan shouldn't daven, right?
You step away, you say something, sorry, you gotta go.
Your guess is as good as mine. I just stopped. I just didn't say another word. And I just started doing whatever I would have done, you know, if I wouldn't have been doing Shema Esrei. Remember, I didn't do what the halacha says. I did whatever I had to figure out. What would have been the right thing for me to do? The right thing for me to do is to take a phone. If I had the presence of mind, I should have taken a phone and called a rabbi who maybe would have this halacha shagur b'fiv and say, Rebbe, I'm in the middle of Shemona Esrei. I just heard this Pesara Ra. Tell me, what should I do right now? And if he says I should finish Shemona Esrei, that wouldn't have been a hefsek. Why not? It's right. It's Letzorech, the same Shemona Esrei, so it wouldn't have been considered a hefsek. I once had a maisa in Lakewood. I was davening in the Beis Medrash when I was learning there. And in the middle of Shemona Esrei, somebody collapsed in a few rows in front of me. So I ran, and I did whatever I did to care for him, and I was talking to whatever, move the benches, move the standards, make room for Hatzalah to bring in the stretcher. And then Hatzalah came, they took over, and where was I? In the middle of Shemona Esrei. I remember walking to Rabbi Forsheimer, Shlita, the posek in Lakewood Yeshiva, he davened at that minyan. I walked over to him, I didn't talk, I took my sitter and I pointed, you know, to Shemona Esrei. And I said, you know, I don't remember what I'm up to. He said, start, pick up from where you were. I said, you know, I pointed to my head and made this like question mark with my hands, like, I don't remember what I'm up to. I was you know, the adrenaline was pumping. So he said, what was the last part of Shemona Esrei that you remember you definitely were up to? So I said, I remember I definitely was like past Rafaenu because I had my whatever names I had inserted Rafaenu. That I remember, I said. He said, okay, so start from there. So that's not a hefse. Whatever talking I talked, okay, that's different because I was talking to for Pikuach Nefesh. But if you're talking to figure out how to daven the rest of Shemona Esrei, right? If you don't have the art scroll with the notes in the back, where when you skip Mashma Ruach, and it's like 2 days after you just started saying, you know, December 7th, and you forgot what the halachas are and you messed up, so you pause for a minute and you check the back with your art scroll. If you don't have an art scroll, you can ask somebody, "What should I do in the middle of Shemona Esrei?" It's not a hefsek. That's what I should have done if I would have had the plans in mind, but I didn't. I told you what I did. I just stopped Shemona Esrei. So was I right? Was I not? Is it totally on? If we said it's optional, maybe I should have continued. But we just learned, Baruch Hashem. I don't want to say Baruch Hashem. We just learned that the way we paskin is that once a person becomes an onein, it's aser for him to do mitzvos. So taka, maybe I should have stopped. So maybe I did the right thing. But we're going to have to dig a little bit deeper into the svaras to see what would be the right thing to do, and we're going to see some fabulous svaras that will hopefully clarify for us what to do in such a case. But before we do, I will tell you that the Mishnah Berurah addresses this shaila explicitly. The Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, of course, is not in Hilchos Avelos because Hilchos Avelos is Yoredeya, and the Mishnah Berurah only wrote on Orach Chaim. However, this sugya appears, the sugya of Aninus appears in Hilchas Kriyashma. Because in the context of Kriyashma, it says that a person who's an Onain doesn't say Kriyashma. Even if he wants to, the Shulchan Aruch, that's the next source on page 2, a few two paragraphs down. Misha Meish Lomeis, Shuchayv Lisab Lobov. Even if you're not the one who's going to be taking care of the kvura, potumi kriyashma mitfila, afilim rotz lahachmir latzmo, the Shulchan Aruch says, even if you want to be machmir and say kriyashma and daven, aser, enor ashay. Okay, look at what the Mishnah Berurah says. Ar shayla. Misha hischil hispalel, o likros shma, v'nasa onin pisom. What should he do? O yigmor, o yafsik, should he continue shma nasir, should he stop shma nasir, should he stop benching? My shayla. What is Mishnah Berurah paskin? Thank you very much. Yesh deos b'zeh ben achronim. It's a good shayla, Rabbi Aurelian. That's what Mishnah Berurah just told me. Thank you very much. For this, I didn't have to open up a Mishnah Berurah. It's that. It's a good shayla. That's all he told me. So now that you know it's a good shayla, let's figure out what we should answer. At least you see it's a machlokas. It says, look at the Chachmas Adam. It's like the Shus Yaakov. There are other poskim. Let's see the Shus Yaakov. So Shus Yaakov was born, as you see, Rav Yaakov ben Yosef Reischer was born in 1670 in Prague. He was a Rav in Prague, in Worms, in Mainz. And he wrote the Shus Yaakov. He died in 1733, and he wrote a lot of Sfarim. He was a posek atzim. And he asked this shayla, or was asked this shayla precisely. As you could see right after the biography, Echad she'omad lehispalel, v'hischil hispalel l'krashma, v'isro be'milsa, and occurred the occurrence, she'meso lev meso, b'pesa pisom. And he's an onen, should he finish one as you're not? That's our shayla. On the head. Nailed it on the head. What's the tshuva? What he brings is a gemara I would never have thought of equating. But the Shus Yaakov, with his encyclopedic knowledge of Shas, says, I have a Gemara that's mamish this case. Not talking about Shemona Esri or Shema, but talking about a person losing a relative in the middle of his avoda. Look at this Gemara in Yuma. Tanya, Haya omer makriv, agabi mizbeach, v'shama shemes lames. You're in the mamish holding the fleish in your hand. You're doing in the middle of the avoda. Do you finish doing the avoda that you started, or do you stop now that you're an onain? Because of course, once he's an onain, he shouldn't be continuing to do the avoda, right? This Kohen. Guess what? It's machlokas ha'tanayim. Meniach avodas aviyotzei. Rabbi Yehuda says, just put this stuff down and walk out. You have to stop. Rabbi Yossi, omer yigmar. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you've started the avoda, behetzer, do the avoda. Now, gentlemen, there's a very, 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 very big million-dollar question, $6 million question that has to be asked about this Gemara. First of all, I'll tell you, we always paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi says, you can continue doing the avoda. Who are we speaking about? A Kohen. A Kohen, right? A Kohen who's an Onin is not allowed to do avoda, right? And here, the question is, if he already started doing the avoda, what should he do? So if we go like the second opinion, like whom we passed, Rabbi Yossi, it sounds like, since he started, then he's allowed to finish. That's what should come out. And if we take this svara, oh, you hit the million-dollar question. We're going to get there in 30 seconds. That's going to be the punchline. But hold on. Bear with me, please. Don't distract everybody yet. So if we pass, if we're talking about a Kohen who's not allowed to do the avoda while he's an Onain, but he started, and Rabbi Yossi says, once you start, you should finish. So let's apply that idea. If that's what the halacha applies by, if that's the halacha that applies by avoda, so Shmona Esrei should probably be the same. It's, of course, it's like avoda. You started Beheter, you became an Onin in the middle, it's exactly the same case as the Gemara in Yuma, and we pass like Rabbi Yossi, who says, finish your work, finish.
Theoretically
validate
the carbon if he does it.
And still Rabbi Yossi says, finish the carbon. You can finish a carbon, it's not that you can finish Shemona Esrei.
Next Kohen takes over?
No, Rabbi Yossi, I'm a Yigmar, let this Onin.
The next Kohen can just take over, there's no loss. There's three kind of backup.
But yet you still let it continue. Even though you're saying, even though there's somebody else could take over, still we pass like Rabbi Yossi. We pass like the second one. We in Machlokas, we're the second Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, we pass like Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi says, Yigmar.
But the concept of
So that means you're saying, Izzy, that even though somebody else could take over, we still tell the kohen you started beheter, and the guy died, your father died on you, go ahead, continue. So too during Shemona Esrei should be, we should be able to continue. That's a fabulous proof of the Shvus Yaakov, yeah? Okay, let's go there in a second. What I just said was Rashi. According to Rashi, the Gemara is talking about a regular Kohen. A regular Kohen is not supposed to do Avodah when he's an Onain. And nevertheless, Rabbi Yossi says, if he became an Onain, continue. However, Tosus says, who are we talking about? We're talking about a Kohen Gadol. And what's different between a Kohen and a Kohen Gadol? A Kohen Gadol who's Be'aninus does do his avoda even when he's an oni. He doesn't have the regular halachas of aninas. Oh, so then everything. So if a kohen gadol becomes an oni in the middle of his avoda on Yom Kippur, of course. So of course he's going to continue. Well, why shouldn't he continue? So why would anyone say that he wouldn't continue? Why would the first opinion of Yehuda say don't? This is Rabbi Yehuda. This is Rabbi Yehuda. This is Rabbi Yehuda. Very good. Okay, let's leave that out.
Didn't we have the Aaron where he stopped? He did what he had to do by the Chatzitza Tafishka, but he stopped when it became part of the by the Tumen, no?
Now that was only Achila. The Achila's touch of these criticized for.
Okay. So Avi and Mr. Bergman, Avi live and Mr. Bergman on Zoom is saying that that's only the Achila he didn't do, but the Avoda maybe he would continue. But let's see what the Shvus Yaakov says. Shvus Yaakov says that if you look at Tosus on this Gemara in Yuma, talking about this Kohen Gadol whose relative died, Tosus says that we're talking about a Kohen Gadol. And a Kohen Gadol is allowed to do Avoda even when his relative dies. And therefore, why should he stop? Of course he's going to continue. Why would Rabbi Yehuda say he has to stop? So it must be some Issud Rabbanon, some Issud Rabbanon that he shouldn't continue. But we would hold that the Kohen Gadol, who's allowed to do his Avoda, should continue doing his Avoda. If we're talking about a Kohen Gadol, if this Gemara is talking about a Kohen Gadol, who doesn't have a Halach of Aninus, and we say, we pass like Rabbi Yossi, okay, you should finish doing your Avoda. That doesn't really inform our Shaila. Because if it's talking about a Kohen Gadol doesn't have a Din Aninus. And we're asking our Shaila about Uri Orlean, who had a Din Aninus. So maybe a Kohen Gadol wouldn't have a Din Aninus and therefore would continue doing his Avoda, but how does that help me? So therefore, we thought we had a great proof from this Gemara, and if it's talking about a Kohen Gadol, we lost our proof. We lost our proof.
Ask you, why are you comparing the two cases? It's not the same. The din of aninus for Kohen is the avoda can't be done in aninus. It doesn't have to do with the tefillah. It's a separate question.
Dr. Pinter, calling in all the way from the ER, wants to say that you can't compare. You don't like the dimion of the Shvus Yaakov. You're saying
no. Just
because a Kohen can't do Avoda, maybe that's something unique about Avoda that doesn't necessarily inform us that you also can't continue saying Shemona Esrei. You're entitled to say that, and the Shvus Yaakov is smarter than you, and he's entitled to argue on you. So Shvus Yaakov, no offense, I love you, but the Shvus Yaakov thinks that it is a good dimyon. And not only is it a good dimyon where you have a very... you have to look into Shas and figure out what is closest, what's the case in Shas that's closest to our Shaila that arose in real life. Our Shaila is a guy's davening mincha, I was davening mincha, and I became an onay. So the Shvus Yaakov found the Mefurish Gemara about it. A guy's doing a mitzvah, okay, you're right there, it's avoda, this is Shemona Esrei. They're not so, okay, you're saying they're different. Agreed. But this is a pretty darn good, close case. A guy doing a mitzvah and becomes only in the middle of the mitzvah. And the Rabbi Yossi says, you continue doing the mitzvah. Okay, so let's continue. You're saying even better. You're making it even better for the Shvus Yaakov that Shemona Esrei is like Avoda in a certain sense. Okay, that you could argue on if you don't want to say that, but yes, that the Shvus Yaakov says you're sorry. In the end of the day, The psak of the Shvus Yaakov is not like what Uri Orlian did. At the end of the day, the psak of the Shvus Yaakov is, as I underlined, as I have highlighted here, pshita de yigmar tefilaso kevin shehischa b'shas chiyuv. If you started beheter, you started shmon esu when you were supposed to, yigmar tefilaso. With that, he goes into the, more into that sugya. And then if you look at the second to last paragraph of this Shvus Yaakov, he says, he brings another nice raya. We know that there's a mesechta called Tanis. And Mesechus Tanis really doesn't talk about much about Tisha B'Av and Shavuos B'Tammuz and Asara B'Teves and Tzom Gedalia. Really, Mesechus Tanis talks about what to do when it doesn't rain. Okay, so let's give a Tanis, it's not raining. So we start having a Tanis. And guess what? It starts raining in the middle of the day. Hashem listens to our tefillos. What do you do the second half of the day? You allowed to eat in the second half of the day? So it's the Mefurisha Gemara Mishnah. The Mishnah says, second to last paragraph of this Shvus Yaakov, the Gemara Tainus Chafei, Hayu Misanin V'yodik Shoma Achar Chatzos Yashlimu. You should finish fasting, meaning once you started, even though it, you know, it's gone, you should continue to fast. Shvus Yaakov says that's sort of what happened here. You started davening Shmona Esrei, even though it's no longer, you know, applicable because of the aninus, continue. And that's the psak of the Shvus Yaakov. One thing that I found interesting is that the Shvus Yaakov could have said something that he omitted, he didn't even refer to at all. And that is, hold on, and that is a svara that Reb Avadia Yosef has in his long tshuva that he builds and builds and builds on, and that's the following svara. Why is an onen pater? I said two reasons. The Yerushalmi gave us two reasons. An onen is pater for mitzvahs either because of kavod hames or because he's tarred. Let's understand, what does it mean because he's tarred? If you have a lot of stuff to do, you don't have to do mitzvahs. The week before you're making a bar mitzvah for your son, you're busy, so you don't do mitzvahs? No. What does it mean that you're tarred and you can't do a mitzvah?
You don't have this mind.
More than that. More than that. You're osek b'mitzvah. You're osek in the mitzvah of levayas hames. You're osek in the mitzvah of kavura. And because you're osek in the mitzvah of kavura, you are pater from all the other mitzvahs that you have to do, like kriyashma, tefillah, etc. So the svara of aninus is in a certain sense, the svara behind aninus is in a certain sense, osek mitzvah pater min mitzvah.
It's like a chosen in anticipation of Rishon. He's
bugger
because he's
talking about. Yeah, which is presumably.
They ask, what if his ship sank in the ocean? Is he then? I mean, they discuss the distinctions like we're making
right,
here, right?
Right, now. But here, this is a Tirdesha Mitzvah. This is a Tirdesha Mitzvah. This is a.
Well, I mean, that's what we say about the chosen to Leo Rishon.
Yeah. I don't want to get into that sugya because.
Okay, but
yes, you're right. That is the sugya that we're going to relate to, and that's the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Chafeim and Beza Chavav Amaral, which is, as you see, the sugya that the Rav Avraham Ben Ahara and the Ritva, the next two sources, are from. But exactly the sugya that you're talking about. Let's think about what's happening here. You have a chiyuv to get involved. You're tarred in the midst of Kvuras Hames. And that is going to pater you from...
saying a name? No. Just like if someone comes around during the
Shema... Okay, okay.
During the Chazar Sashatz, I can't say, I'm sorry, I'm listening to the Chazar Sashatz, I don't have to give you money.
Okay. Maybe, I don't know. Depends how you listen to Chazar Sashatz. If you are Osek in a mitzvah... Daraisa. Do you have to do another mitzvah daraisa? Let's leave that aside. Osek mitzvah patim in a mitzvah. Okay. Next question. If you're osek in a mitzvah daraisa, do you have to do another mitzvah darabanan? Osek mitzvah patim in a mitzvah? Definitely not. If you're osek in a mitzvah daraisa, you definitely don't have to do a mitzvah darabanan. Now the $1 million question. If you're osek in a mitzvah darabanan, you're osek in a mitzvah d'rabanan. Do you have to do a mitzvah d'oraisa?
No.
Let's assume you can't do both. Yanki, what do you say?
No.
You say, Yanki Melmed, El Presidente, Zakt, that if you're Osik b'mitzvah, even in a mitzvah d'Rabbanan, you're still patzer from all other mitzvahs, even if they're mitzvahs d'Oraisa.
Correct.
That's what the Ritva says. Look at this Ritva in Sukkah.
I have it. Chafei.
How do you have this ritva on a card ready to roll?
When you started this year, I looked for this here and I wrote it down.
That's correct. So I have it on top of page 4. Very good. Wow, you make us respect your presidency even more. Look at page 4.
One in 100, I get something.
Very impressive. The Ritva has a fabulous svara. The Ritva says that if you're doing a mitzvah, you're patur for the next mitzvah. What it does is, the reason why osim is a patur for the mitzvah is because when you're doing a mitzvah right now, that makes the other thing that you have to do into a rishus. And therefore you don't have the right to do a rishus because you're busy doing the mitzvah.
Are you allowed to stop a mitzvah?
You're not allowed to stop a mitzvah. Let's see how he says it. Yeah, 1 second. Look at the second paragraph on page 4. Yesh lomar. Dehakamashmalan. What we see from the sugya of osik mitzvah, afilu ba'i lahaniach mitzvah zu. Lasos mitzvah acheres gedolim. Let's say you want to stop doing mitzvah A, which because it's a little mitzvah. You want to do a big mitzvah. You're not allowed to. Ein harshus piyado. You might have thought that maybe if you want to stop doing a mitzvah, you could stop doing mitzvah. Kamash malan, look what I underlined. Once you're doing a mitzvah, you're putter from the second mitzvah. The fact that you're putter makes it as though it's a rishus. And if the second mitzvah is only rishus, well, what would you be? You want to stop doing a mitzvah that you're obligated to do something that is only rishus? That doesn't make sense. And therefore, you're not even allowed to do the other mitzvah. So, the Ritva, he wasn't as clear. I think the Rabbeinu Avraham in Ahar, which is the previous source, which I underline, that even for a mitzvah d'Rabbanan, that you're osik and you will not go ahead and fulfill a mitzvah d'Oraisa, says Rav Avadi the following svara. Listen to this. Why is an onein not have to do mitzvahs? Because he's also in the mitzvahs of Kvura. He's also in the mitzvah of Kvura, and because he's also in the mitzvah of Kvura, he doesn't have to do other mitzvahs, like Kriya Shema, Tefillah, etc. But listen to what Rav Avadia says. What happened to me? Tuesday afternoon, 2:58 p.m., 3 p.m., what did I do? I started davening. I'm also in the midst of davening. What happens in the middle of my davening? All of a sudden, I now have a chiyuv to do kvura, levaya, hesped, whatever else I had to do as an onain. Says Rav Avadia, listen to this. Normally the whole heter of aninus is that you're osek in the mitzvah of kvura, and therefore you don't have to do all the other mitzvos. Here, that very same svara that obligates you in the mitzvah of kvura and thereby pardons you from all other mitzvahs in the world is doing the exact opposite here. Because what was the first mitzvah that I was involved with here? I had started davening Shema Esrei. I had started davening Mincha Beheter. And while I'm davening Mincha Beheter, guess what? I'm in the middle of a mitzvah of davening Mincha. Albeit only Drabbanan. Albeit only Drabbanan. What do we say when you're in the middle of a mitzvah? Even only in Drabbanan? Ha'osik b'mitzvah of Mincha. Pater min ha-mitzvah. I'm not chayiv in the mitzvah of Kvura Sameis, of Levaya Sameis, of taking care of my father already in Kaparaz Mishkavo. So therefore, according to this Svara, says Rav Avadi, if you're davening Shemona Esrei, we should apply the rule of Osik B'mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah, and I shouldn't stop davening. I'm Osik in the Mitzvah right now. I'm Potter from burying my father. I'm Potter, the whole Aninus is what is a Chi of Kvura. And therefore, according to this Lam, this is what Rav Avadi comes out with. According to Rav Avadia's Lamdas, the Aninus is just a Chiyuv Kvura, Chiyuv Levaya, Chiyuv to do all the mitzvahs that are related to Kvura. And therefore, if I'm Osek b'mitzvah of Shmona Esrei, that patters me from these additional mitzvahs. So what comes out is so fascinating, because normally it's the chiyuv, it's the din of osik mitzvah, I'm osik in the mitzvah of kuru, that patters me from all the mitzvahs of tefillah. Here, since I already started davening, it's the osik mitzvah that says, continue to daven. Because you're osik in daven, whatever you're osik in first, that's what we say, osik mitzvah patter from everything else. And therefore, Rav Avadya would say, osik in, you should be osik, finish your mincha, because that's what you already have been osik in, and you're patter from the mitzvah of kura. And that's Rav Avadya. So Rav Avadya uses this svara and he passes like the Shus Yaakov, not like what Uri Orlian did. Rav Avadya said, based on the svara I'm telling you, I should have continued Shmona Esrei. I should have continued Shmona Esrei because, oh, it only is Potter. I thought that's what Uri Orlian thought. That's what he thank. I thought that once I'm an Onen, I'm Potter for mitzvahs. I didn't chap this Rav Avadya's chap, that I'm only Potter because I have a chiv to do these mitzvahs. But if I was ready to have Shmona Esrei, I was also b'mitzvah, I'm parted from the mitzvah of Kures HaMeis. And that was the that's Rav Avadya's conclusion.
L'chor Rav Avadya is against the Rosh, which we brought previously.
Why?
Said, by the way,
Rosh said, wait, that Yoshi Vidomi, that everyone else is davening, you sit and you're quiet. At the point when you're sitting and being quiet, you're not being posing the mitzvah.
I hear.
Vaharaya is that if you would go ahead and, you know, it's the same Gemara which brings down Kutu Rav Yosef, that it's only while you're specific.
Right. So you're saying that the rule of osik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, is only while you're actively osik b'mitzvah. But it could be that by an aninus, it's a little different. Once you have the din aninus, the mitzvah of kuras ha-meis, it's an all-encompassing type of thing.
It's a status.
It's a status, but what generates the status is the osik b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. That generates the status of aninus. But if you didn't even start to have the chiyuv of kuras ha-meis, the aninus can't set in. That's what Rav Avadya wants to say.
That's the difference. That's saying that aninus is still a didn't aninus, but rather
the aninus is to do the mitzvahs of kvura, and it doesn't set in. Because if osek mitzvah tefillah patur mitzvahs kvura, and whatever that will say. Yes, Mr. Melman.
Rav Sheinberg had a psak that aninus was uprooted during a flight from New York to Eretz Israel, because then there can't be any. You can't be osik at that point. So he divided it. It's paused and then it starts again.
Right. So that's a big fit. That's a chiddush. Rav Sheinberg held that aninus does not apply in a plane because nothing you could do. So two things. First of all, most opposing have not accepted that. Second of all, that's where I wrote my hesped on the plane. It's my second hesped. I wrote on the plane. So I was definitely putter. Thirdly, nowadays, you have internet connection on the plane. You have WhatsApp on the plane. So anybody who's going on the plane to bury in Eretz Yisrael is definitely going to be WhatsApping and emailing. I give you my word. What time are you getting there? How are you getting from the airport? Who's coming? Call this person. Where are we going to sit for 2 hours? How are we going to do our PCRs when we land? I assure you, Yankee, there's plenty of stuff to do on WhatsApp and on the plane with your email in the air nowadays.
So there is a sucker.
Right. So what Scheibrig said 20 years ago will not apply nowadays that we have in-flight Wi-Fi. Okay, Rav Bosai, thank you. We should be zoh. So what are we coming out? Halach l'mayis. We're coming out the Rav Avadya and the Shus Yaakov says that once you daven Shmona Esrei, you should continue to daven Shmona Esrei. Other poskim say you should not continue davening Shmona Esrei. You should stop. So like the Mishnah Berurah said, there are two different machlokas of what to do. I guess I can't feel bad about what I did because whatever I did would be okay. And we should be zochet to be involved with simchas, with healthy things, with brachos. And there's a chus of learning these sugyas and these halachas that should bring us bracha and simcha and health. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Thanks, Mr. Melamed. Thank you, Dr. Pinter. Thank you,
Rabbi.
Mr. Bergman. Thank you, Rav Moshe.